Sometimes you're the windshield, sometimes you're the bug, and sometimes you're just listening to Backtracks, Aerosmith Revisited. My name is Corey Morissette, joined as always by St. John Mariano. How are you tonight, John?
Hi, Corey.
Oh, you sound down, my friend. What's wrong?
I am down. I had a rough week, my friend. As you know, we bombed out. Like, we had a great episode last week.
Yes, Scott, one of our best, absolutely.
Scott hit it out of the park for us, and we talked about the movie. And look, I had as good of a time as I've had recording the show since we started. And then I realized at the end of the episode, and I wasn't the only one. Ken Knapsack realized we dropped the ball.
Oh no!
And Mr. Knapsack was not so happy with me. I had a rough time in the West. He would tie his lasso around my ankles and drag me around the towns, shaming me for missing out on his sponsorship.
Well, now that I've joined this Red Dead Redemption experience, he can do that to me now too online, because you did that to me quite a bit the other night, John. You'd tie me up and set me on fire or drown me in a river and all sorts of fun things.
Corey, we don't kink shame here. You know that really gets me, is tying you up and setting you on fire.
You know what really gets me, and that's talking about pop rock and radio. I'm not going to forget this week. Ken Knapsack's Pop Rock and Radio. The big hits, album cuts, and B-sides from rock and roll. I'm going to do that again. Ken Knapsack's Pop Rock and Radio. The big hits, album cuts, and B-sides from the rock and pop world that make up the soundtracks of our lives. Look for live shows and make requests. Sing, dance, and celebrate the music with the pop, rock, and radio community, which I still think features us. Have we been banished yet from the pop, rock, and radio community?
I haven't. Surprisingly, you haven't either, even though you don't show up nearly as often as I do. Ken also got a little ticked at me. I was popping into pop, rock, and radio the other night, and I put in a request. And Ken plays a lot of college rock. He plays a lot of like women in rock, you know, he does maybe some progressive rock, not so much progressive rock, but he does maybe some punk rock. So I, in my infinite wisdom, requested Love Song by Tesla. Mm-hmm. And Ken didn't know where to squeeze it into his set. So he ended the show on it, you know, and he said, outside of the shitty 80s guitar and 80s drums, I love the song.
That's a great song, Ken. Come on. Tesla's fantastic.
You know, I'm a fan, and I was sitting by my fireplace, and I have like one of these electric fireplaces. I'm really, really, really chic like that. And I have my electric like TV looking fireplace in my living room. I had my recliner up. I'm listening to Ken, and I just chilled out and listened to some Tesla the other night.
Tesla's amazing. I saw them open for Def Leppard a few years ago, and they're still a fantastic band. And Love Song kicks ass. I might rebel against Ken. Maybe I don't want to do his drop anymore in our show.
You keep this up, man, and he's going to start dragging you through the towns. You don't want that from Ken.
Ken is the ultimate cowboy. He's the alpha. Is that what I'm learning?
Well, I was not so much the other night.
No,
I had to keep my guns in my holster and just take it like a man.
But you know who was the alpha last week? Scott Haskin. Wow. Came in with some great choices on the die, and we rolled the movie, and I'm really, really glad we rolled that with him on the show, because he could give us a different perspective on an instrumental as a musician than you or I could. Like, we could sit there and pause and say, yeah, that sounded cool. Yeah, that sounded cool. And little bullshit tidbits here and there like we do. But Scott really gave some great insight as a musician onto the creation of that song.
Yeah, and you kissed his ass like you wouldn't believe, and yep. rightfully so, man. Like, normally I would give you shit for kissing somebody's ass, but like Scott kind of came here, and Scott was the alpha male last week.
Oh, he owned your ass, that's for sure.
Oh, very clearly, I have no shame in that at all. Like, Scott could come here and own my ass anytime he wants.
And I'm not ashamed for kissing his ass. I'm a big fan of his show. I've told him numerous times, I wasn't really that big in Uriah Heep until I started listening to the Magicians podcast. I'm like, these guys are really great. And if Uriah Heep for some reason ever came around Canada way, I would certainly plunk down $100 to go see him live. That's like $100 American, like he pointed out, is 700 Canadian. So that's a pretty big financial investment, but I would pay it.
I was hoping you meant 100 Canadian because I was like, I'm on my way to go to Uriah Heep show.
That's like $10 American, right? Like,
yeah, completely, dude.
Yeah. But we're not going to talk about Uriah Heep. We're going to talk about Aerosmith. And we're back, John, to our normal die. And also big news being show 19, we're going to have to either ditch the song we're rolling tonight or replace a song that's currently on the mixtape. Should we go through the current run order of the mixtape?
I think we need to. We have how many now? 18 that we have?
Yep.
So I guess you should kind of go 9 by 9 because side A, side B.
Okay. Well, and we didn't really sequence these, but the first nine tracks, Lord of the Thighs, Shut Up and Dance, Let the Music Do the Talking, No More, No More, Falling in Love is Hard on the Knees, Oh Yeah, The Other Side, Jailbait, and Rats of the Cellar. And I don't know about you, John, but there's one track on there that sticks out to me like a sore thumb that needs to go.
Look, I don't want to give away our hand, but I think we've said on other shows that if we were Pat McAfee, we know who we were punting off the bat.
That's right. But the second nine, the B-side we have right now, Permanent Vacation, Janie's Got a Gun, Walk on Water, Seasons of Wither, Chip Away the Stone, Just Push Play, Shame on You, Cheesecake, and The Movie. So that's the current running order of the mixtape. We are going to play song 19 here tonight and replace one of these songs with whatever we roll. Currently on the die, as we speak, is Sweet Emotion, specifically from the album A Little South of Sanity, Helter Skelter, You Gotta Move from Honkin' on Bobo, The Reason a Dog, Walking the Dog, and Sick as a Dog. John, is there anything on there that you're specifically hoping for?
Yeah, I'm hoping for any of these dog songs, but have a dog pun. I'm dying to say. So if you roll the dog song, I will hit you with the dog pun before we even get started.
Okay, well, just for that, I am also hoping for a dog song. A, to get one of these dog songs off the die, and B, to hear your masterful dog pun. So what do you say, John? Let's shake the dice and give it a roll. And we're coming up with You Gotta Move from Honkin' on Bobo. The dog songs remain on the die. But this is an album, John, you had mentioned before, you never really gave a listen to, did you?
Oh, no, not at all. I don't do my homework. I mean, we won't be replacing a song that is a dog with a dog song, but you Gotta Move that's on the dog album will probably replace a song that is a dog tonight.
Are you calling Honkin' on Bobo a dog album?
I mean, it's not one of my favorites.
You haven't even really heard it. How would you know?
I mean, I haven't really eaten, picked bland food here, but I know it's bland.
That's because you're a connoisseur. You're from New York State. All we have here in Canada is bland food. The pierogi is a staple of our diet here in Saskatchewan.
I just want to know why you call ham bacon up there.
We don't. We call it ham. I never understood this Canadian bacon thing because I've never called that bacon. I think that's an Eastern Canada thing. To us, bacon is normal strips of bacon, and ham is ham. You need to talk to. I should get my wife on here. She's from Ontario. She can maybe answer that question for you.
Yeah. It's always perturbed me. Like the Canadian bacon is ham. It's ham thrown on the grill.
Yep. No, I agree totally. I'm going to talk it over with my wife after we're done recording and get her explanation. And we do have a couple of Canadian listeners too. Maybe hit us up on Twitter and let us know what's the deal with Canadian bacon. It's just ham. In Western Canada, we call it ham. Speaking of ham, You Gotta Move, a cover of Mississippi Fred McDowell's track, You Gotta Move. Are you a big fan of Mississippi Fred McDowell there, John?
I'm a fan of the name. I'm going into this completely blind and deaf, Corey. Like, I have no idea what we're about to listen to.
I tell you, this is a great track. It's a traditional African-American spiritual song released in 1965 originally. The Rolling Stones also covered this song way back when. And it was one of the feature songs on Honkin' on Bobo, which was the All Blues cover album that Aerosmith did in 2004, recorded at the Boneyard, Joe Perry's studio in Boston, Massachusetts. Produced by Steven Tyler, Joe Perry, Jack Douglas, and Marty Fredrickson. So they kind of got the band back together on this one. There's also a live version. A&E did a live special on Aerosmith during the Honkin' on Bobo tour. They had live cuts with interviews and backstage stuff. And And You Gotta Move was one of the featured songs on that one.
I'm excited to hear it. I always love hearing songs I haven't heard before. We know de facto it's making the mixtape, because we know we've pre-discussed the first one coming off. The rest of them will be some kind of conversation, but tonight one's got to go, and I can't wait to get it off. So I can't wait to hear the song and get through the song to kind of cleanse the palate a little bit.
I cannot agree with you more, my friend. This is You Gotta Move from Honkin' on Bobo. So that's kind of the whole vibe of Honkin' on Bobo, right? It's these five guys. In a way, I always kind of thought they're kind of rediscover what they liked playing music with each other. Like, they did this, you know, live in a room together. And obviously, Steven Tyler would be in the room with them with the harmonica, playing the track, all five guys in the same room. And then he'd go off in the vocal booth while they were still playing and do the vocals. So it was very much a live record in that respect. But these are just kind of old blues songs that these guys love and kind of grew up on and did covers for the record. And this song, I think, pretty much sums up the vibe of Honkin' on Bobo quite a bit. What did you feel in the very beginning of hearing this track?
I think it's a lot of fun. You know, I love the harmonica heavy intro. It does feel very Aerosmith, even though it's not an Aerosmith song. It's very weird not to be breaking down the lyrics with you for once. Because Corey, is this our first cover?
I believe it is. We've had covers on the dive before. We talked about Let the Music Do the Talking is technically a cover of a Joe Perry Project song.
Right. But I mean, it's still a member of the band.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, this is our first true cover. Yes.
This is our first true cover. And it's very strange to not be talking about it as if it were an Aerosmith original or created by an original Aerosmith member. Musically, it's a very Aerosmith sound, but the harmonica heavy intro, I think it's a lot of fun.
It really is a lot of fun. I love Steven Tyler when he breaks up that harmonica, man. Like, he can really wail on that thing. And like you said, lyrically, so far all we've got is "You gotta move, you gotta move, you gotta move, child, you gotta move." So, yeah. But it's the kind of song you could see like Jimmy Page, right, in Zeppelin maybe covering, right? Just that old blues standard. Rolling Stones makes a ton of sense that they covered this song. That this is right in Aerosmith's wheelhouse. That's why if we're doing a mixtape of songs that make up what we think Aerosmith is, you almost got to consider a song like You Gotta Move as being on there for quite a while, because this encompasses everything that the band holds dear and what got them playing music in the first place.
Yeah. Like, I don't want to talk too much because I know we have a lot more song ahead of us. But the movie last week had many layers to it. It's very interesting that here we are with Honkin' on Bobo. And production-wise, it feels like there's a lot of layers, but you can hear them all. Like, it's very crisp.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
It's weird because I know this track, what would you say, dates back to the 60s?
Yeah, originally written, I think, in the 40s.
Yeah.
Released in the 60s. Yeah.
Very interesting saying that, because it brings me back a little bit to like movies like Grease, when they're doing the dance off.
Mm-hmm.
It has that very 50s like dance off Dick Clark vibe to it, right? But with a little bit more blues and grit to it. I would love to be in a blues club, like listening to Aerosmith, or listen to even an Aerosmith cover band play this version of the song.
Absolutely. I love these old blues standards, and early gospel songs like this just have a tremendous rhythm to it. And this song just makes you want to move, doesn't it?
I'm dancing in my chair as we speak, Corey.
Yeah. I'm an old fat white guy, and I want to move, and I never want to move. I want to sit, but now I want to get up and dance.
Yeah, I mean, I'm an old fat hairy white guy, and I am dancing in my chair.
I love the production of this album and of this song. I thought Steven's vocals sound tremendous. The band sounds great. I love how through my headphones here, I was getting Joe Perry on the right side, and I was getting everybody else on the left side, kind of dueling back and forth in that little breakdown before the second verse kicked in.
I like how last week we had a song with no lyrics, and here it's almost like we have a song with inconsequential lyrics. The lyrics kind of exist so we can hear the tone of Tyler's voice against the music. But it's really the rest of the band jamming that makes this song sing.
Yeah, and we were talking with Scott off camera about how Aerosmith concerts nowadays seem very choreographed, right? They do 15, 16 songs. Set list never varies. They play the song as it is. There's no like extended jams. This, on the Honky Tonk Bobo tour, which I never got to see, but this could have been an extended like 15-minute jam where they just broke out and just, you know, Joe Perry and Brad Whitford just kind of going back and forth with the guitars, right, over this beat. This would have been a tremendous song to see live, where they just had fun playing with each other again. I don't know if they're doing that so much now, or at least when I saw them in 2018, whatever it was, they didn't look like they were having that much fun together. Doing this album, I bet you they were having fun playing together.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. You know, the band's had so much turmoil over the years. Like, there are points in their history where it's like hard to even tell whether or not they even like each other, but they just work together. And then there are other points where it seems like they're true family. I mean, in a lot of ways, they act like a true family in that way, right? Because you have family members where you have your ups and downs, and you don't always talk to them, and sometimes, you know, you tolerate them, and that's what the song feels a little bit like right now, is it's really a focus on the music.
Yep. And a great Joe Perry quote from around this time is he said that the band really only would record when they were in a good mood. And this sounds like a band playing together when they're in a good mood.
Yeah. God, that's fucking cool, man. Like,
yep.
My God, like, to have the patience to let that just linger that way, it just, like, you have to have so much confidence as an artist, you know, as artists, as musicians, to let that just hang the way it did right there.
And just a little bit of a Tom Hamilton flourish there with the bass, right? Just a little accent in there. Just made that so cool.
But the way everybody else let it linger, let Hamilton sing in that moment.
One part sour, two parts sweet, three parts strong, and four parts weak. I would rather sit on a pumpkin and have it all to myself than to be crowded on a velvet cushion.
I don't know if I would recommend sitting on a pumpkin. They look uncomfortable. Your thoughts?
With stem or without stem?
I'm assuming with.
Oh, then I'm all in.
Oh, there you have it. God, I love that guitar tone. Right? I don't know what processing he's putting it through. But it went through, it's this weird kind of distortion, but it almost sounds like the harmonica tone coming through the guitar. It is so cool.
You know what really sucks about the song right now, Corey? That we're doing this show, because I'm sitting here and I'm tapping my toe and you stop the song. And like, it was like right at the point where like I was really getting into it. And like, shit, we got to talk about the song again, because God, it's so just good to listen to.
You always give me shit for that. And I want to sit there and listen to the song too, but it's kind of our job here to kind of talk about it a little bit, isn't it? That's what the good folks, the two or three that listen to the show, they want to hear John Mariano's enlightening comments on You Gotta Move.
Well, I mean, excuse me, but aren't the way jobs work is that you get a paycheck?
Well, we got a sponsor, right? When's the money coming?
Look, you got to talk to the big boss. We pissed him off last week. It's not coming for a while now.
Talking to the big boss. No, I don't. That's your job. You deal with Ken. I don't want to get a tongue lashing like you got last week.
Do you think that the simplicity of lyrics in the song, like, it almost feels like at points Tyler's overdoing it a little bit, versus, like, it's almost like he's trying to compete with the music.
In a way, maybe. That's how old gospel songs, and I'm not an expert by any stretch of the imagination, but, you know, he's singing with feeling, you know, it's, but like you said, it's not so much about the lyrics, right? It's more about the tone, and it's about incorporating with the music. And is he going a little too far? Is that kind of what you're alluding to? I can maybe see.
I don't know if he's going a little too far, or if I want to hear his volume pulled back a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't mind how hard he's going, but it almost feels like I'd want his levels dropped a little bit and put the music a little bit more at the forefront. But him still going as hard as he's going, just not letting the levels reach the same point they're at.
Is this a little bit of a lead singer syndrome where he wants his vocals above the mix, maybe a little hotter than it should be?
I don't know, because I feel like on other songs it doesn't bother me as much, but coming off of the movie last week, but even this song and the way the band is jamming together, I can just listen to this as a jam right now.
Yeah, the band is cooking. They're by far the best part. Yeah.
And I don't mean to knock Steven Tyler. Like, he's doing everything he's supposed to be doing on the song.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something with just the way the band is working together that feels like an all cylinders kind of thing right now.
And you know what? How many songs have we done where Steven Tyler maybe kind of outshone the band a little bit in his performance? Here's a situation maybe where the band is really cooking. And I'm not focusing so much on Steven Tyler, even though I thought the timbre of his voice, like he's singing fantastic on this song, but I'm focusing more on the band.
And that's what I mean, right? Like, you know, when I say drop his levels a little bit, it's really because I feel like that's my point of, like I have a point of interest on this song. And it's not like Steven Tyler's there and he's a layer with the music, but to me, he's not my point of focus right now.
That's right. And it's not Steven Tyler lyrics that we're focusing on. We're just kind of focusing on how he's singing, which is great. But yeah, all my attention is on Joel Perry and the boys here. You Gotta Move from 2004's Honkin' on Bobo. The album peaked at number 5 on the US Billboard 200, only going gold in the United States. I think this is a hidden gem in the Aerosmith catalog. I'm a fan of Honkin' on Bobo, and I love You Gotta Move.
Yeah, this is it's weird because I've never heard the track before, and it was a damn good track. Like I kind of alluded to how much I enjoyed the instrumental in this. And I would love to hear an all instrumental version of the song. And also I enjoyed Tyler singing on this, but maybe not nearly as much as the rest of it.
Yeah, no, he sounded great, but the band was cooking. This is a pretty forgotten album in the Aerosmith catalog, but one I think is worthy of revisiting. There's some great songs on this album. There's covers of Bo Diddley, Aretha Franklin, Muddy Waters, Fleetwood Mac, even, and they even do one original on there as well called The Grind. So I would recommend checking out the You Gotta Move special that was on A&E. I think you can find it on streaming services. And check out Honkin' on Bobo. It's a really good album, and hopefully you enjoyed You Gotta Move as much as John and I did, because it's currently song 19, which means if we want to put it on the mixtape, we have to get rid of one. And John already alluded to it. I think that there's one that we are anxious to get rid of here. And John, do you want to kick things off?
Yeah, we are kicking Jailbeat to the curb. You know, most bands that go on as long as Aerosmith have some dark piece of their history. And we've kind of alluded to not liking the song for various reasons. And Steven Tyler, earlier in his life, he was about 25. He married, he got somehow convinced a girl's parents to adopt her, and she became his ward. And he got her pregnant. And if you listen to his story, he says that they, I think meaning the record company or the band or producers or whomever the powers that be, convinced him to push her to get an abortion. But any way you cut it, Steven Tyler got a 16-year-old girl who was under his care pregnant, and then forced her to have an abortion. And it's as sordid and nasty a story as they get. And it's a big reason why tonight we're kicking Jailbait to the curb. But we also wanted to use it as an opportunity to talk about this piece of history in the band.
That's right. And when we did the Jailbait episode, we talked basically, we just talked about the music. We didn't allude to this situation at the time, because we knew we would kind of address it here as we're kicking it off the mixtape. Musically, there's reasons to kick it as well. But, you know, this period of time, you know, can't be ignored and does need to be acknowledged. Steven Tyler, in 1973, he was 25 years old. Julie Holcomb was 16. And he got guardianship over her, telling her parents that he needed guardianship to enroll her in school. And then so she was technically his ward and his lover, which is a pretty sordid affair leading to an abortion, and not a good situation for all involved. We're not the podcast really that usually brings up such subject matters, but we thought it important to acknowledge it and discuss it as we're kicking Jailbait to the curb here tonight.
Yeah, it's a tough conversation to have. You know, we're often confronted with, like, how do you separate the artist and the art? And, you know, Steven Tyler, you know, has done some better stuff as he's gotten older in life, but that doesn't take away that he has ruined this woman's life. And it's, you know, at some point, I believe he gave her about $500,000, and it's, you know, money's money, but it doesn't change this. And he has spoken to what it was like to see his unborn son aborted and how it affected him, but he hasn't talked enough about her tragedy. You know, Julia Holcomb, you know, has lived her life with these memories and with these thoughts, and she was 16 when her parents signed her over to Steven Tyler. And, you know, talking about her parents would be an entirely other episode of this show, because how you do that and how you let that happen, I'll never be able to tell you. But it's a very sad and dark piece of history, and Jailbait, to a degree, is representative of that. And with that, we're going to kick it off of our mixtape. And hopefully you look back at this episode and have a little bit better understanding that you can appreciate a band and the talents of a band, and also recognize the history when members do the wrong thing.
And you alluded to that $500,000, John. I just wanted to make it known that Julie Holcomb created an awareness campaign, Silent No More, an anti-abortion campaign. She's now 7 years old. This is a organization, and she has a facility in Memphis for girls who have been neglected or abused. Tyler donated $500,000 through his foundation called the Janie's Fund, which of course is named after the safe haven Janie's house was named after the Aerosmith song Janie's Got a Gun, which we covered on this show. So that was his, I guess, version of making amends. But like everything you mentioned, John, for that reason and more, we're kicking Jailbait, which means geez, I got to put another song on the dice. So with that said, you know what? I'm thinking we're going way back, maybe back to Aerosmith 1973. I know we got a track on there right now, Walking the Dog, but I'm thinking we should maybe put another one on there. I'm thinking Moving Out, which is the first song Joe Perry and Steven Tyler ever wrote together. And my intro for the majority of these songs thus far has been Good Morning Glory, Hallelujah to You. That line comes from this song. So we're taking You Gotta Move Off the Die, and we're putting on Moving Out from 1973's Aerosmith.
I'm excited. I was considering an Aerosmith song as well off of their first album as a replacement. But we'll hold off on that to see when I shake the dice. Tonight, folks, we're not going to do our typical outro. In honor of Miss Julia Holcomb, we're gonna kind of go out silent, and just thinking about victims of abuse, and have them in our thoughts.